1 2 1 2 1 2 1 2 yeah what sip yeah 1 2 1 2 yeah the last time I did a stand-up show in a really big venue, there was a guy on stage doing a sound check for me, one of the sound guys, and he was a sound guy, but he just kept going, you want to, yeah 1 2 to the point where, like, he did, see, if you've done that 10 times, that's where I'm going, surely everyone's got what they need out of this. But he must have done it genuinely for 6 minutes. Yeah, 1 2 And as the side of stage going, mate, no, stop doing this. But there you go. Listen, it's a DIY setup on the podcast this week. That's exactly what it is. I have a laptop on top of a printer scanner. I've got a printer scanner because I'm a pretty cool guy in 1997. And here, mate, can I come around your house? Use a printer. Here, mate, can I come around your house and scan some football programs? What? Speaking of scanners, right? My dad got me 1 year for Christmas or my birthday a scanner, but like a radio scanner. And it was one of the most bizarre presents that I've ever got. Like, I told the story a couple of weeks ago about my dad got me a motorbike gloves for like a scrambler for Christmas 1 year, but didn't get me a scrambler. And then one time he just got me this like radio scanner from Cash Converters. And I think he must have been like committing robberies, because as a kid, there was nothing interesting for me to tune into. Because there was a wee book and it's like, if you listen to this number or whatever, it's the stewards down at Windsor Park. Mental. I mean, I might have made that up, but I think that was a thing. And you just hear two fellas being like, all right, Vente, listen, someone shite themselves around the back of the south stand here. Cheers, Tommy. I'll come round, sort that out now, Muckler. Does anybody want to die for a burger van? All right, lads, Timmy here. Listen, you know, I don't know why I had one, but I just know it was a thing. But it's a DIY setup this week. The reason for that is producer Dan has taken himself on a little bit of a holiday. He's going to the World Surf Championships. So I wish him all the best. I think he can do it because he is probably the best surfer in the world. Surfs up cowabunga. He loves all that chat. He'd be head-to-toe in billabong gear walking about Rosnaula Beach. So that is a thing. If you're maybe off, you want to do a staycation, head to Rosnaula and you might catch a sight of Britney Spears' dad, producer Dan, just hitting the waves. I mean, he's told me that's what he's doing, that he's going surfing for a week. But in all honesty, he's probably just sitting at home, just getting a break from me. And that's totally fair. But I'm killing it. On Sunday, I uploaded the Patreon podcast for the next day. And I scheduled it. I told the internet I want it out tomorrow. And the internet was like, no worries. What time do you want it out at? Successfully did that. I'm doing all my own tech this week. I'm doing the uploading of it. So whatever errors there are, I can only apologize. Before we get stuck into the podcast, shout out to the Tea With Me merch. Before we get into anything, Shopify, Shane Todd Comedy. Google Shopify, Shane Todd Comedy. See the Tea With Me merchandise, like the sweet mugs that I'm drinking of right now. They're all on there, in the Sipper t-shirt and the Money Toad t-shirt, which I will wear when we're back in studio doing the podcast. Let me plug the Patreon, which is patreon.com/TeaWithMePodcast. Where you get the bonus episode on a Monday with me and producer Dan. But bear in mind, last Monday it was just me because he has abandoned all of the sippers. And then you get stuff like the live podcast that only the Patreons get to see. You get, my fingers are deformed. If you're watching the video podcast, I admit it, my fingers are deformed. I've got a story about that in a second. Patreon.com/TeaWithMePodcast. You can support the podcast every month. If it's something you're interested in, great. If you're like, mate, I just lost my job and have 17 children, don't even worry about it. I apologize. Yeah, let me tell you this story. I was playing football on Saturday. Got beat like 97-0. Sweet. And then I hurt my hand playing football. Me and this guy ran into each other. I think it was definitely a bad foul for me, I think. But we clattered into each other. And my hand was out straight. And he ran into my hand. And my finger was sore at the time. And then I got home from football at about 4 o'clock. And then about 7:30, just me and the baby in the house. My wife was out for dinner. Then I'd start getting this pain in my hand, not my finger, and I was like, that's kind of sore. Then half an hour later, I text my wife when she was out, like just literally enjoying one of her first nights out since the baby. And I text her and was like, listen, I don't want to be dramatic here, but I have broken every bone in my hand and wrist and I have to go to A&E now. She wrote back, she's like, here, I'm on my way home. I was like, no, just enjoy your night out. She's like, you can't, she makes a fair point. She's like, you can't really text me and say, by the way, I described it as 10 out of 10 pain, and she described labor as 8 out of 10 to her friends. So it's crazy that, my wrist was sore than childbirth, but basically what happened was my hand just stopped working, and I had to, this is so me, right? This is so me. I had to text my neighbor and ask him to come. And pour me a hot water bottle so I could put it over my arm. There you go. I rested my hand on a hot water bottle and I had to text my neighbor Lawrence and say, Lawrence, I'm pearly. And I said, listen, I need you to come in here. I'm having a bit of a situation. He thought there was something wrong with the baby. There wasn't. There was something wrong with the original baby's hand. I said, listen, I'm not a medical expert, but my hand is fucked and I need help ASAP. And then also very, very me, I remember there's like a private hospital on the Lisburn Road. So I started Googling private hospital Lisburn Road, 24-hour x-ray, just to see if they did that. Because I didn't want to go to any hospital in Belfast because on Saturday night, there's a lot of headers knocking about them. And that's a true story. So I was willing to go through 10 out of 10 pain to not run into some fella with a knife sticking out of his head going, all right, bro, what are you at tonight? So I went through probably an hour of agony where I was literally going, just sitting on the sofa. I never take tablets, right? Unless I'm going to like a Daniel O'Donnell concert and I'll pop a few E's, right? But I never take like painkillers or anything like that because I was about to say I'm a hard bastard, but then I did just tell you I had to get my neighbor to come in to pour me a hot water bottle. But I never take, but I took two paracetamol, two ibuprofen. Then about an hour later, I forgot my hand was sore because I was changing the TV channel with the bad hand. And then I texted my wife and I was like, listen, I don't even think it's broken at all. And then I Googled, and I never do this, but I Googled the symptoms of what had happened to me. And then Google just said, I like asked Jeeves or whatever, and Jeeves said, it was just a spasm. If you've injured your wrist, you can get a little carpal spasm in it. And that's what it was. And that is definitely the name of this week's episode, carpal spasm. So the moral of that is don't always assume that you will be leaving hospital in a full body cast if your hand's a bit sore. Sometimes if you just wait like 10 minutes, it might just work itself out. And now my hand's fine. But yes, I what I'm saying is I was asked to describe the pain out of 10 and I probably shouldn't have said 10 because I don't, with hindsight, it wasn't 10. But a lot of guys wouldn't, you know, if a lot of people went through that, they wouldn't do the podcast. Probably take a couple of months off, like producer Dan. But I'm back. I'm back. I mean, it didn't go anywhere, but I'm back. And it's been a weird day or two with the whole, you know, COVID thing, the whole lockdown thing. And I've tried never really to talk about it on this podcast, apart from, to be fair, the one COVID special episode that we did. That's my tummy making a wee gurgling noise there. There you go. But that's 10 out of 10 pain. Oh my God, I got to go to A&E. Actually, no, it's fine. So yeah, with the whole COVID 2 lockdown, as far as sequels go, I wouldn't like to see it. You know, because the first one was so shit. Lockdown 1. But if Lockdown 2 comes in, I'm going to start writing poetry or something because it's... doing stand, and by the way, some people will be like, you think you've got a hard blah blah. No, I don't, but I only know my own experience, and as a stand-up comedian who feels a need to perform and get up and do stand-up, like that's me really, really being me when I get up and do stand-up, and it's the best thing ever. It will be difficult because it's like I got to go back to it 2 weekends ago. You know, stand up, I got to go back to work and I just happened to love my job and I went back to it and thought, this is it all starting again. It's coming back. It's coming home. It's coming home. It's coming. Stand-up's coming home. And then the next week, Arlene and the boys are like, listen, fuck that. We're shutting the shit down. I mean, they're not shutting bars. I mean, that's a whole other argument. I'm very confused about it all. I felt like normality was going to slightly come back with stand-up, and I could see what the next year for me would look like with work. And now with this all happening, I have no idea what's going to happen in the next year. So, don't know. It's one where, like, you know, I'll still be able to do podcast, obviously, no matter what. Hopefully I can still do radio and that kind of thing. Although we do 10-week runs on Radio Ulster, so not be doing that for a couple of months, I think. So we just don't really know what the crack is with stand-up. So for the first time ever since I went full-time at doing stand-up, which is like 5 or 6 years, I had the thought of, and we talked about this on a Patreon episode recently, of what I would do if I wasn't doing this job. And it's something that I've started to think about a little bit more. Like, I think long-term I'll always be able to do stand-up, but I don't know. I was thinking about it going, what if there just is podcast and radio maybe, and so I'm only working for a couple hours a week? Should I be going out and doing something else? And I would never, I've been really lucky in the last couple of years, especially with stand-up, to make a good living at it and be able to do this as my job. But I would have zero qualms about going out and doing whatever. I don't even know what I would do. I don't know what I would do, but it's definitely something I've had to think about. And that is why we need to avoid a second lockdown, because Shane Todd has had to think about the fact that he might not just do stand-up. But it's a weird one, like, especially with the baby as well, you know, not being able to have visitors and round to the house and take him round to, you know, other people's houses, which is something that we thought we were going to be able to do in the not too distant future. It's just a giant melt, like it really is. And I've talked about it on this podcast that I've been totally fine through lockdown and all this thing, like mood wise, you know. I am very like laid back about it, and you know, as long as like my family are okay, that's the main thing. But in terms of like my job and stuff, I was like, you know what, it's going to be okay. We'll have to adapt. It's going to be fine. But this week is the first time that it's like got to me a bit, and I don't know. It's just difficult to deal with, because everything is so stop start. You know, when I think back to it, lockdown, luckily for us, wasn't too bad, because we had enough to do. We did things around the house. The baby was coming. We had loads of distractions, basically. So I know that if another lockdown came in, we would be totally okay to deal with it. But, don't know, it's weird. Like, it really is. It really is weird. And I wouldn't even go as far as to say it's got me down, but it's definitely just got me more pessimistic about things, because I am an eternal optimist. Like, my motto is like, it'll be fine. Like, everything, like whenever I got diagnosed with Crohn's disease, the consultant was like, it's Crohn's. And I was like, it'll be fine. He's like, I know, but you might want to, like, you know, look it up and stuff and learn more about the condition, because it can be pretty bad. And I was like, doc, trust me, the best thing we can do here is do nothing. And he said, that's not true. I'm a qualified doctor. And I had to just say, do you know what, you're right. But I don't know. There's going to be a way to do stand-up. There's going to be a way to do stand-up. I've got some ideas. I'm going to see if they can happen, because the government is obviously unable to, and I'm not into politics at all. So some people might say, listen, mate, you got this totally wrong. I don't care. Some people, the government, they're basically like, listen, we're not shutting down the economy. We're not shutting down bars and restaurants, really. We'll put restrictions on them, but we're not shutting them down, so that they can still keep getting their tax and get their money. And that thing of like people putting tweets up and stuff saying, I feel like I'm on a couch here, pour my feelings out. That whole thing of people saying, I can't go around to my granny's house to visit her, but I can go to Thompson's with her. I think I saw a tweet like that. that is beyond mad. And the thing that the thing I really felt insulted by was Arlene Foster at the briefing saying, yeah, the reason that we're not allowing home visits to happen is because we find that that's when a lot of time COVID is passed around, when people are off guard at home. So they're basically saying you're more likely to come into closer contact with someone when you're at home, all chilled out, relaxed, sitting on sofas. And sofas are usually fairly spread out from each other, especially when you're from North Down. Obviously, there can be a good, 50 feet between each because the houses are massive. But they are saying that you have more chance of getting it in a home situation, as opposed to down at the pub when you've had 10 pints and your mate has you in a headlock. That's the insulting bit, where you'd almost prefer them to come out and say, listen, we can't afford to really shut down the economy again, so we're going to have to keep this going. And this isn't ideal, but this is why we're doing it. But it's just like, it's the excuse of, the home is where you're going to get, it's going to be the last place you would get it. Because I know that friends of mine have a load of pints, hugs will be dished out. Friends of mine, me and all my friends, we like the French. Me and my mates, they do French, continental kisses, sometimes, three. And that will still happen, obviously, when people are out. And then when people go out and they now go, bars are going to close at 10 o'clock, everyone's just going to go, here, fuck it, come to my house. So I don't know. I don't know. My concern, looking at the whole hospitality thing, I'm thinking about stand-up and I'm going, is there a way around this? Can we do something here? And you know what? I think we can. Fuck it, I'm optimistic again. And that was a quick turnaround. That was like my wrist. That was like me and my wrist. 1 second there, I was like, listen, I'm quitting stand-up. I'm going to be a digger driver. And then 3 minutes later, I've now decided, fuck it, it's going to be all right. And the reason it's going to be all right is... because stand-up is great crack and people kind of do need stand-up in a way, I think. And I definitely need to do it. So we'll see what happens. Hey, this is weird. I've been asked to go on Nolan tonight, if this is the night you're getting to see the episode, as a guest, the TV show. And I was totally startled by even being asked to do it. And I was like, what do they want me to debate? Is there a debate about, cute guys? Do I need to be defending cute guys here as a registered cute guy? But they were like, no, it's just like the celebrity interview. Now, this podcast is always a way for me to just totally be honest, be upfront about things. And it's the ramblings of a madman, essentially. And I am very uncomfortable with the... Now, this sounds like a dickhead thing to say. If someone else was saying this, I'd be like, roll my eyes, being like, oh, mate, shut up. I am uncomfortable with the tag of celebrity. And anyone I know that does the same kind of thing as me would feel exactly the same way. I think we would find it more funny than anything. For example, Colin Geddes. Colin would probably, like myself, at times... jokingly refer to himself as a celebrity, or like myself say he's an influencer or that kind of thing, because that's something that we would be uncomfortable with and that we like to take the piss out of. And honestly, weirdly there, I thought I was going to hiccup and I felt like I was going to drown. So there's that too. That's a crack with that. But I just don't know what I... it's always good if you've got something to talk about, I've got this gig. Because I think a lot of stand-ups are actually very modest. Superstar, world-class stand-ups like myself are very modest. And, it's weird. You might see me on the show tomorrow night. Or you might not. I have no idea if I would be a good fit for something like that or not. Because if you do that, are you then basically being like, yes, I am a celebrity. Let's just talk about me for a while. I don't know. It's bizarre. Then I'm also thinking, like, would I have to wear a suit? I don't like to wear a suit. Can I just go in, like, because for the past 9 months, all I've been wearing is shorts, trainers, and crop tops. And I'm thinking, can I go on Nolan Live, you know, dress like I'm just about to hit the beach in Tenerife? Because that's my vibe. I don't know. Don't know. It's weird. I used to do warm up for the Nolan show, for the TV show years ago. I did six episodes, either six or eight episodes. I was the warm up guy, and I'd never done TV warm up before. Mickey Bartlett's done loads of TV warm up, so he always told me about it and told me some horror stories, and also sometimes where he was like, "No, it's good." But I did it, the Nolan show warm up, and the first week I did it, it was brilliant. Like, it was really good. Like, so you're in the BBC Blackstaff studios. There's a couple of hundred people there. This is obviously way pre-COVID. This is 6 years ago or something, maybe more. Yeah, but I'd say 6-7 years ago. And I did the first week, and you go out before the show goes on air. You do 15 minutes to warm up the crowd. And I just went out and did my usual set, and it was brilliant. And I was like, this is really good fun. And it was really, it was like good money too. And then the next week I like breezed it. Oh, by the way, the first week I had a dressing room, and I was like, fucking hell, this is class. And there was like grapes on, and I was like, this is brilliant. I love grapes. And then the next week I went back, there was no dressing room, and I died a horrendous death on stage. Not because there was no dressing room. I didn't just stand and protest like that guy with the tank in Tiananmen Square. I had no joke laughing at my own banter there. But the second gig, I didn't do well at all, like at all. And I couldn't work it out why. And then I was driving home and I was like, you know, people are there to talk about a lot of contentious issues on the Nolan show at times. This was the time during like the flag protest. So let's just say tensions were raised and loyalists were red in the face. And I was coming out in a room full of people who were all there to like make points by and large. I was coming out and being like, oh, do you ever get it when you're 23 and then this thing happens? And I was all, I died. So comedians will say died on stage and it means like you get nothing. That happened to me for every single show after that first one. And it was horrendous. I was really bad at the job of a warm-up man. And I think people think if you do stand-up, you would just, by default, be really good at that. But I've since met warm-up men, like stand-ups, who are really, really good at it. And they're good at it because they can just be like, you know, give us a big cheer, and this section, give me a cheer, and boo that section, and what's your name? And like, it is a slightly different art to stand up, but probably within stand up. And I was just so bad at it. So maybe they want to get me back. Maybe I've got this wrong. Maybe I'm not like the celebrity guest. Maybe they just want to get me back to like look for an explanation and say like, listen, can you pay some of this money back? Because we thought we were getting something that we weren't. Also, when I was doing warm up for that show, Spandau Ballet were playing on the show, as in like, I know this much is true. And the guy, Tony Hadley, who's like the main guy, was chatting away to me backstage for like half an hour. He started a conversation. He's like, are you the warm-up guy? He goes, do you know Tim Vine? I said, yeah. He was like, he's a friend of mine. He was chatting to me about stand-up for ages. And then Martin Kemp, the guy that was in EastEnders, who is a fairly sexy guy, sexy older guy, walked past me in the corridor. It was just me and him, nobody else about. And we walked past each other, and I was clearly working on the show. Like, I had a microphone in my hand walking past him. And I said, all right, mate, how are you? You know, just like not stopping for conversation, just the courtesy thing. And he like smirked at me and just kept walking. He was like Ellen DeGeneres to her staff. And since then, I've been obsessed with taking down Martin Kemp. So if anyone has any information on Martin that might be useful for the Sunday papers, get in touch. But yeah, I don't know if I'll do that or not. Maybe you will see me on it and it'll be fine. But sometimes I'm like, I can't just talk about myself. Nobody would find that interesting if I was like, I started stand-up in 2006. So who knows? Who knows? Maybe it'll, you know what I mean? It's something to do. You know, it could be a wee night trip to Belfast. I could get a boojum on the way home. It could be a bit of fun. We'll just have to see. I want to do listeners' questions because I've got loads and loads of them. And before I do that, I got to do the Manscaped read. Manscaped.com. Manscaped are precision tools for your family jewels. Now, what does that translate as? That translates as Manscaped are this company that they spent a long time looking at pubic hair, not in like a research way. And they decided that like guys' pubic hair was gross in a lot of cases. And they were like, we need to do something about this. It's selfless work, really. So they came up with the Lawnmower 3.0, which is an electric trimmer. And what you do is you touch that to the area above your male genitals. And what happens is you do that for a very short amount of time. And then when you stop doing that, you're 1,000% better as a person. Like producer Dan and I used this. I used it. I've always been a scissors guy, Edward Scissorhands, down in that department when it comes to that male grooming below the waist. And I've always kept it tidy. I've always kept it fresh and tidy. But producer Dan has said he'd been growing his since birth, really. He's like, I've never trimmed or cut my hair down there. To be honest, Rapunzel is the best way to describe it. Like a red Rapunzel. Who might have had ginger hair. Anyway, we used it. We loved it. Manscaped.com. You get 20% off and free shipping with the code TWITHME. All one word, TWITHME. 20% off and free shipping. The Lawnmower 3.0 is class. A lot of mates of mine use it. Didn't know we were a podcast sponsor. And then I was like, that's disappointing because you could have saved so much money. So check it out. Girls, get it for your guys. Guys, get it for your guys. And by your guys, I mean your testicles. So there you go. We're doing public service work here. We have loads of questions. As I said, I want to get through them here. Twitter. Let's kick off on the old Twitter. What have we got? We have... Oh, that's not a question. Oh, yeah. Here we go. We got 6 questions on Twitter. Kong Gribbon says, what's your Nando's order? My Nando's order is quite substantial. I get myself butterfly chicken medium, peri-peri chips, pineapple, and usually an avocado and a wee Diet Coke or a Coke Zero. Or last week on the radio show, I had a full fat Coke and geez, I was up all night just being hyper, you know. I was running about doing like airplane, like wedding dancing, and just being really giddy. Dave Elliott, if you'd be interested to know, likes to get his chicken thighs. Dave likes thighs, spicy rice, peas and halloumi. So there you go. Paul Doherty says, what do you make of Port Stewart getting crowned as the town most up its own arse? Is this a real thing? Port Stewart or Port Rush? Port Stewart? I mean, I feel like this isn't going to be an official... If I Google Port Stewart up its own arse, will hopefully there's not a guy called Stuart Port who's done some work for Pornhub. Oh, I'm going to guess this is like a, what would you say, like a parody news thing. Yeah, so it's not a real thing, so I can't really comment on it, but what I can say about Port Stewart is I like it. I like the port in general, and it's become one of those things that You know, it's like bands, man, once it becomes so mainstream, you know, like Kings of Leon. The North Coast is somewhere that everyone goes and everyone just talks about it. And it's almost like lazy in a way. People are like, ah, up the port, up the North Coast, that we love it. It is good. It is good. I like Port Stewart. I like Harry Shack. I like that. I like the Remore. I like some of the wee coffee shops there. And I like the vibe. I like walking about Barry's and people watching. I like, there's a really good chippy right beside Barry's too. I like the North Coast. I like gigging up there. We did a gig in Kiwi's Bar just before lockdown, which was really a lot of fun. So I do like the North Coast. Is Port Stewart up its own arse? I don't know. I think Port Stewart's one of those places where a lot of the houses there are like holiday homes. So I don't know if there is a reputation of Port Stewart being a up its own arse place. But if it is, it's probably people who don't live there that just like have a second home and just don't treat it like their town. So I'd say the actual Port Stewartians are actually fairly sound. M. Herity says, what does a comedian do on the daily? More so, how does a comedian actually do his job, come up with stories or jokes, and how do you tailor it from first inception? What does a comedian do daily? The answer in most cases is zero, is get up at 6 o'clock, have a super noodle sandwich, and smoke a fag. But there's everybody I know has a different routine in terms of how they work, how they write material, their like daily rituals and stuff like that. Like personally, whenever I first started doing stand-up as a job, I was kind of still in that student. So I'd been a student, then I had a real job, then I did stand-up full-time. But when I did stand-up full-time, I was so glad I didn't have to get up at a certain time for work in the morning that I kind of went back to being a student. So I was getting up really late, at like 10, half 10, which for me now is extremely late, and just not really putting the graft in. But then when I realised like doing this is going to be tougher than I thought to actually make a full-time living out of this, I started to have a bit of a routine. I started gradually getting up earlier. And now my routine would kind of be get up at about 7, half 7, have breakfast, and maybe try and do a workout at that time. It's different now with the baby. Like, I'm falling into a new routine and I'm still trying to figure that out, and it changes week to week and stuff, but that's all part of the fun. But I will typically work from about 10 until 4. But in that time, if I need to go do something or something else crops up, or it's a beautiful day outside, so I'm like, fuck it, let's just go on a road trip. North Coast, woo! I will just go and do that if I've got my work done. But it's a lot of thinking of ideas. It's a lot of writing. It's a lot of editing, doing things like podcasts, meetings. No two days are really ever the same. But I'm going to get back now into more script writing. So that will involve, I write scripts better at night. So what I'll probably do is more family stuff during the day. My share of the housework and come on, that kind of thing. And then I can try and write like late at night. So I don't know. How much do you tailor jokes from your first impression? I think you mean like how much do you edit them from the first time you perform them? And the answer is sometimes not at all. Sometimes the first time you perform it, you go, that works like that, so I'll just keep doing that like that. Or sometimes you change the whole thing. Just depends on how the joke goes down. But in most cases, you do change it and you try and cut the fat off it, because when you do it for the first time, you sort of waffle a bit around it and you take too long to get to the point. Whereas when you've been doing it, you know how to get to the meat of the joke quicker. So you kind of just edit that a wee bit. Next says, who's your favorite NFL team? I'm from Northern Ireland, my man, so I wouldn't have one. I love NFL, like fashion and stuff, and like NBA gear and all that kind of thing. What? I like all that kind of stuff, but I'll be honest, I have no idea what I said just before I said that. Zero idea what I said, and I went, I like all that kind of stuff. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Hopefully it wasn't something terrible. We have a question from Ben Emerson who says, what's your favourite thing about Lurgan? And don't say they wrote out of it, you cheeky scamp. The best thing about Lurgan? Best thing about Lurgan is Michael at Church Lane Dental. That's who I've been going to as my dentist recently. But best thing about Lurgan is probably the day that me and Dave Elliott played at Mournview Park, Glen Evans ground, in a charity game. And we won the game. I think I surprised a few people by just having I was like Gary Neville in his peak. That game playing right back. And Dave saved the winning penalty in the shootout. And then me and him got a big McDonald's. So that's the best thing about Lurgan. Bruno McPeak says, how do you speak so pleasantly? How do I speak so pleasantly? Well, this isn't my real voice. This is not my... I first started saying I wanted to do stand-up, TV, radio, that kind of thing. And then, let's just say a few mentors of mine basically were like, you can't speak like that. So my voice is like that there, but not so that I... So I'd be speaking like that there for ages. And I was like, listen, I want to do TV and acting and stand-up and podcast. And then everybody was like, mate, you can't speak like that there now. So then they were like, no, you have to change it.
So I went through probably about 9 months of vocal training, and that was actually the first time I went back to that voice. But on Sundays, when I'm just around the house, I will speak like that. Why do I speak so pleasantly?
What's happening? No.
Why is that guy always around Little Italy whenever you're just trying to get a pizza after a night out? All right, mate,
is it cheese, you know?
What?
In there, do they do cheese, you know?
Yeah, I think they do cheese. I think they do cheese, mate. Yeah, I think they do cheese.
It's cows, you know?
Yeah, cows. Yeah, 100% cows and all, yeah.
I see cows, mate. They're filling them antibiotics, you know? They're filling the cows with antibiotics, you know, fucking more. They're better than the fucking soya.
All right, bro, cheers. I speak so pleasantly because I had voice training. I don't know. I do have a pleasant voice. And because I am, and I will describe myself as this, well-spoken, a lot of people are like, man, you must be from a very, very rich background. And I'm not from a very, very rich background. But part of me likes to just go with it. And I'm like, yes, my father is the Sultan of Brunei. You know, I don't know. I just speak the way I speak.
And the way I speak, like, that, no, I like just messing about, no, and talk different now for comedy, because if you're doing stand-up like this and all, and then in Northern Ireland it'd be all right, but then what if I was doing gigs, you know, in New York and all, and I was like, all right, New York bars, what's happening now?
I just have a pleasant voice, and some people get really obsessed with that and go, you know, you speak with a very middle-class voice, and honestly, I don't lose sleep over that. I'm like, okay, I guess I do. I guess I just speak with character. But I don't know. I don't know. I was just born like this. Matthew Mernon says, do you wet the toothbrush before or after the toothpaste? Now, I know Matthew Mernon, this is code for some sort of sexual weird thing that he's into. But if I'm taking this literally, of course I wet the toothbrush before I put the toothpaste on and before I brush my teeth. I think what I do is I put my toothpaste on the toothbrush and then I run that under the tap a little bit and then I just get in there. But it'd be weird to wet the toothbrush after the toothpaste, I think. No, before. I don't know, and if that's designed to make my head explode, you just did it. Congratulations. Matthew Collins, bar mitzvah. Yeah, I put up a thing last night about I'm doing stand up at loads of different events, weddings, funerals, all that kind of stuff. Contact me to book me. And Matthew was just keen to know if I was up for doing a bar mitzvah. And the answer is shalom, brother. I don't know if it's shalom or shamon, one of the two, to all my Jewish brothers. But Matthew Hyland, is Robert De Niro your favorite actor of all time and why? Is Robert De Niro my favorite actor of all time? No, he's not. My favorite actor of all time is the guy that plays Uncle Andy in Get My Headpiece. And Denzel Washington and Christian Bale. Don't know, like De Niro's obviously good, but he's nearly been in too much good stuff to the point where you just forget him. Like, you expect him to be brilliant and everything. But what ruined everything was when he was in The Irishman and he kicked that guy in that fight scene. That undermined everything he'd done up until that point. And I think he should be stripped of every award he's ever won. Because he's a 70-year-old guy trying to kick someone as a 20-year-old and it just didn't happen for him. He's also done fair few shit films as well. But he can, you know what I mean? He deserves it. He's De Niro. Are you talking to me? I don't know if people know this, but I... yeah, I don't know if people know this, but basically... since lockdown has come around, there aren't as many gigs going on. I have been getting a lot of work as a Robert De Niro impressionist. So watch out for me on the scene. And if you want to book me for that, email me. And you can be talking to me. Are you talking to me? Because I don't see anybody else around here. You must be talking to me. How class would it be if I signed up as a Robert De Niro impressionist, someone booked me for like a corporate function to do Robert De Niro, and then I just showed up doing a really bad Robert De Niro?
Are you talking to me? Because I don't see anybody else around here. You must be talking to me. Are you talking to me?
That'll be £700, please. Yeah, Robert De Niro's good. He's not my favourite actor of all time. I'm sorry. He just isn't. Patrick Quinn. BGIC, Big Geek, Belfast Guy in China says, how do you envisage Christmas 2020? This is, of course, your first as Daddy Cool, so it may naturally be a relaxed one for you, but do you think there'll be any normality in pubs and clubs as well as getting to perform? P.S. What a great gesture of you to do stand-up at weddings. Not all heroes are called Westwood. Yo, baby! I mean, it was a nice gesture that I was like, I'll do stand-up at a wedding for free because there's not many gigs. And we picked a winner, and I'm doing that very, very soon. And I'm going to shoot like a wee video about me doing stand up at a wedding, just so people as well are like, oh, he actually did do that. He's not just making up the fact that he said he was going to pick someone at random to do it. But then since then, loads of people got in touch and been like, are you just doing stand up for free at weddings? Can you just come and do a set at my wedding? It was just for that competition. If you want to book me to do stand up at your wedding, you've got to pay for it because my baby needs food. And by my baby needs food, I mean I need steroids. Do you see any normality at Christmas in pubs and clubs? No, I don't think so. Although if the bars and all are open now, chances are they'll be open then. So I think the normal now will probably be normal then, if that makes sense. So I think it will feel like a normal Christmas in a way. So if you want to go out for a meal or drinks with your friends, you still can do it. But for someone like me who doesn't go drinking very often, not really into that, it still will be a novelty probably for me. I think I was saying recently in the podcast, every 3 months for drinking suits me down to the ground. But at Christmas, I do enjoy drinks in Hollywood with my mates. You know, Christmas Eve, I did last year and the year before. And yeah, that's a lot of fun. So hopefully I get to do that. That would be great. One Flying Irishman, with you and Dave's bitter divorce and the inevitable loss of your Godfather title, what are your plans to cover up your Godfather tattoo? Perhaps a collab with the East Belfast Chippy, the Codfather? I don't think, is the Codfather still there? Or was that for Cod and Ulster? Remember that? Or did they like both stop being Chippies? I have no idea. No, essentially... Dave and I have fallen out, but he has allowed me to continue my role of his daughter Holly's godfather. But maybe I do need to cover this tattoo up. I don't know. I by the way, I have a massive tattoo in the back of my leg that says Todd Father. Not a lot of people know that or think I'm being serious, but I am being serious about that. And then, so I've got to get a tattoo from my boy, because I can't, he can't grow up and go, "Daddy, what's that?" And I go, "That's a tattoo I've got for another little baby." He'll be like, "Why can't you get one for me? I'm a little baby." So then I'll have to get one for him. So essentially, depending on how many kids I have, I could end up like Michael Scofield at a prison break. Glenn Lindsay, how do you deal with Dave Elliott looking better than you in a football top? Glenn, shut up. What are you talking about? Because he doesn't. He wears weird Crusaders shirts when he doesn't support Crusaders. It's like a real-life troll project. It's just weird banter. He doesn't like Irish League football. He doesn't like Crusaders. And I actually look really... See, to be honest, Glenn, if you're watching the video version of the podcast, you look creep. Look at, and this wasn't planned, by the way. I just have some, I should put these clothes away. I have an Inter Miami top. This is David Beckham's team, and it's white with pink trim. And when I wear this, my eyes sparkle, and on the football pitch, I look effing fabulous. So F you, Trump. Johnny Bo, is it annoying when you have visitors? The baby gets all the attention. You know what? You learn to accept that very, very quickly. You learn to just be like, okay, you know, you just don't get a lot of attention anymore. When people used to come into my house and say, "How's the wee man?" they would look at me and I go, "Good, thank you." But now it's about him. And begrudgingly, I've just had to accept it. So, yeah, the only thing is people kind of treat me like another child in terms of like when they get him a present, sometimes they get me a little something too. Just so I don't get jealous and steal his presents, which I do quite a lot of the time. And it's weird when they're closed because they are very, very small on me because he's a newborn baby and I'm a massive guy. Gordon Rourke. Played a few friendlies against Belfast football teams recently. And in one, there was a bald fella who got told he looked like someone ordered Jason Statham off Wish. What is the best slabber or thing you've heard playing a football game? And my mate Stevie actually asked this as a podcast question recently too, and I forgot to answer it. Right, the thing with that is, that feels like it might have been pre-prepared, which is not good local football banter, really. You know, it's niche. It sounds like someone is trying to land a big punchline there, but it's wordy, right? So if you're out of breath and you're using that one, you know, on a hot day or whatever, you could get that wrong. You look like someone or Jason Statham off Wish. Statham off Wish, you know, the pronunciation is relatively difficult there, so I wouldn't recommend that one. But I might need to see the fella to get the context. Some of the best ones I've heard are, and some ones I like to get involved with, is as soon as the ref kicks off the game, and I want to see people doing this, by the way, in the next couple of weeks. As soon as the ref blows a whistle to kick off the game, just shout, "Ref, along's left!" straight away. That's my mate Ryan. That's one of my mate Ryan's. A good one is somebody cracking up on the pitch, like going nuts, like putting in big tackles and all, or slobbering at the sideline. Just, "Everything all right at home, mate?" That's good. What else? Because I'm 32, what I kind of like is just like laughing at things. Like when I was playing football recently, I was being marked by like a way younger guy, like a guy's probably like 19 or 20. And in the first minute or two, like we're not even running for a cross. We're just like running down the pitch. And he like gets really tight and starts trying to like throw a couple of elbows into the side and stuff and pull the shirt. And as I just burst out laughing. I was like, What are we doing? What are we doing? There's no fans here. If you do this, you're not going to get a move to Real Madrid. So why not just like, let's just play football. That's all I'm interested in doing. I spent a couple of weeks ago, there was like a full fight on the pitch basically. And then this fella came on, so the match was pretty dirty. And he was a big, big guy, like a big bald guy with a beard and tattoos. And he came on and he looked like dead serious and intense at me. And I said, "Mate, see if there's another fight here." And he looked at, like, his head turned 180 degrees. He's like, "What?" And I went, "You and me aren't getting involved." And then he burst out laughing. And I was like, "Thank fuck he thinks I'm funny." So then I just kept trying to be his mate the whole game so he wouldn't start me in a fight. I think he just transferred to that team from McAlbury FC, but that's cool. Amy Dixon. Best and worst thing your best man said about you in a speech at your wedding. So I had two best men, Stevie and John. The best and worst thing they said to me. My mate Stevie pointed out that I used to cycle a bike everywhere until I was 21. And that's kind of like quite lame. So that stung. John, what did John get at me for? They both got at me for being lactose intolerant, which is kind of rude because that's a disability. But overall, it was nice. It was a nice speech because they're my friends and they're nice. I'm only friends with nice people. Kevin Davey says, how do you feel about nightclubs in NI closing at 1:30 in comparison to Coppers in Dublin closing at 6? I don't think nightclubs here close at 1:30, do they? Well, they certainly don't now, anyway. And Coppers in Dublin closing at 6. Is that true? Yeah, if that's true, that's mad. I mean, I think the thing about all this is none of it makes sense. So the fact that we are, no fucking politics included in this statement, we are on an island. Like, the fact that there would be some different rules there, different rules here on this is mad. You may as well be like, let's just work together on this, bros. Sean McLaughlin, would you spend much time on social media? Yeah. Yeah, mainly MySpace, just messaging my man Tom, asking what he's up to. Charlotte Laurie, what's your favourite shape of sausage? Straight, Cumberland Square, or heart? Jesus Christ. Straight. Just like straight, like I'm not in any other. I'm not in any other sausage stuff. I just like my sausages straight and black. Charlotte, last question above. Living in Copenhagen, Denmark, and the tea situation is dire in Copenhagen. Oh, no. If we can do something about that, we will. Honestly, they sell more skates, licorice crap here than bags. Salty licorice crap. All right, mate, can I have a tea? Yeah, what sort of tea do you want? Salty licorice. I've managed to find some loose leaf, but have no strainer, and also Amazon doesn't exist here. What? Which is another nightmare. I could probably go scavenge the tea, however. What daily household object could I use as a tea strainer? My first thought is a clean sock, but that's also gross. Much love. Charlotte, love right back at you. I love that you're representing the podcast in Copenhagen, in Denmark, and I'm sorry that you can't get your tea. Do any other sippers live in Denmark? Can you advise in terms of using a sock as a strainer? We're a little bit more upper class on this podcast, so I would say it's got to be a really nice, it's like an Egyptian cotton or a bamboo sock. So I would say if you've got like a Yves Saint Laurent or a Givenchy socks, use those, but I don't want to say like using a pair of multi-pack Slazengers. Tights, would tights work? But then is there anything in that that if you drank it in the water, like the tight, could something from the tights get into the water and give you mercury poison? I'm not too sure. And mercury poison's obviously when you get it now and all day you're just going, no. So I don't know, but I want you to keep us up to date with this journey. Are there any other sippers in Copenhagen? Do any sippers have contacts in Copenhagen that can get Charlotte a strainer? Okay, because that's all we want to do. Charlotte, we'll figure this out somehow. We'll figure this out. Maybe our friends at Horny Teas can help the Danish tea situation somehow. Jesus Christ. Wow. Okay, this is from Jared Brawley. He says, I don't know if this podcast question. I don't know if this podcast question, so I can't read. I'm going to say, can I read this on the pod? I mean, he sent a very, like, very nice, kind, beautiful message that I will chat to him either way about. And my first reaction is, can I talk about this on my podcast? But I just want to know. I don't know if it's for the podcast or not, so I'll check out with you. Daz, are you going to stay for the full podcast today? I think Dave should just fly solo now. Hey, Daz, shut up, you detergent. Carl Branigan, what was the score in your game at the weekend? I think we got beat 12-1. So there's no comedy there or whatever, or there's no, at the end of the day, analysis. It was just a bad day at the office. And and I think it was 12-1. But these things happen. And as I've said about football, you just have to be like, listen, let's just enjoy this. You got to take the rough with a smooth. And getting beat 12-1 is definitely rough. Sippers, thanks very much for the questions. Let me just make sure we don't have any other on Twitter. And we'll maybe, I'll maybe chat to Jared about what he said next. We'll maybe chat about that during the week. Yeah, we will. Because Jared, you sent me a message under the post where I was asking for questions, but you're talking about a quite a personal thing, so we'll wait and see. Producer Dan will hopefully be back next week. I'm flying solo again in terms of the product. This guy does it all. He sings, he dances, he acts. He's the full package. So Producer Dan will hopefully be back next week. I'll be back on Friday with the interview podcast. Who's my guest going to be? I don't know. I do not know, but we'll figure it out. Cheers for listening. Thanks for being sippers. Patreon.com/TeaWithMePodcast. Manscaped.com. Tea with me as the code. 20% off of free shipping. Cheers, sippers. Todd, father out. Sipper, God love you. If you've made it all the way through this episode, that means you love Tea with Me. You love this podcast, or it means like you've drifted off and you've just left this on play. Either way, what you need to do is head over to our Patreon. If you enjoy the podcast and you want more tea, that's where you go. We do a bonus episode called The Special Brew every Monday and a live stream podcast every Friday with some of your favorite comedians. You can chat, interact, ask questions. When we announce live podcasts, you get early access to tickets with a little bit of a discount on there. And there is so much more. You can go back and watch, I think, nearly 1,000 hours of content. Tea with Me, Patreon, which is patreon.com/TeaWithMePodcast. The link is in the description. I'll see you there.